Mrs. Anikas?
Here.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Butts?
Here.
Mr. Coburn?
Here.
Mr. Mason? Mr. Eisler and myself are also here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, moving to public communications. Nobody signed up. Is there anybody that would like to say anything at this time? No. Okay, we will move on to board work session. First, I would like to start with mentioning the Anthony family. As many of you know, the family was in a serious car accident last week. Mom and dad, I think, are doing fine, and so is one of the little girls. However, one of the other children is at Children's Hospital, right? And she is in a little more of a serious condition. She started to respond to some feeling, maybe. But we just wanted to take this moment, have a moment of silence for them. But along with that, I also want to mention that our community has been great through this whole process. We have our cheerleaders that are doing a special fundraiser for the family. I know there's some other activities going on, but the other thing that really stood out is last Saturday during the fair animal sale, all the kids sold their animals. I would say probably 80 to 85% of those kids donated anywhere between 5 and 10% of their proceeds to the family. So I know they're going to have great help from that fundraiser, and hopefully we can continue that as a community. So at this time, let's have a moment of silence, please. Okay, thank you. The next thing we want to say is to everybody that helped us, participated, and put in a lot of time and work for our levy. There was a lot of people that were involved in this process. It took a lot of time, a lot of dedication. There was a lot of passion behind what everybody was doing. And due to those efforts, as you can see, we passed our levy. So I think we are all thankful for that. And we wanted to say a special thank you to all of you. However, during that process, we had several people that just went above and beyond. So we wanted to give them a little bit of a special recognition. And I'm going to turn that over to Mr. Eisler to mention those folks.
Sure. Thank you, Mrs. Anikas. There are several people that, as Mrs. Anika said, did go above and beyond, and would just like to say a special thank you. We have a certificate and a pen for them. Those people are Todd Fisher, who is our levy campaign committee chair, Elizabeth Daniels, who is our levy campaign treasurer, Jeannie Cheney, who was involved an awful lot, as well as Paul Sayre and Ashley Woodard, and then special thanks also to Jill McLaughlin. I know that she went and, from my understanding, paid money out of her own pocket to put an ad in the Madison Press and went door to door for us. So thank you to all of those who were involved, but we certainly want to say thank you to these individuals who went above and beyond. And so for those who are here, if you would come up, I have a certificate and a Madison Plains pen for you. Thank you to all those who helped out. I know there were lots of people that would not have been possible without passing the levy, would not have been possible without lots of commitment from people in the community. So we thank all of them for your assistance. Thank you so much.
Okay, Kelly?
So I think, too, I wanted to bring up, we probably should schedule a board retreat meeting to talk about goals, set those for the next coming school year. And I think we probably are at the time frame, we probably should do that relatively soon.
When did we do that last year?
We did that last year. Todd, do you remember the date we did that last?
No.
It was an August time frame.
It was here, I know, last
year. Yeah, we did it here last time. So I just suggest that we do that, and again, we'll probably have to get our schedules out pretty quickly and get that on the agenda, but I know school's fast approaching quickly, and I know there's a lot of things going on, but do you have any preference? Did you want to do that before school, or you want to wait?
I think before school would be a wonderful idea.
Okay.
I am booked up on the 25th to 26th of July. There's some other days in August, and I didn't know if you were thinking about doing something during the day or during the evening.
Let's see what. So let's look at. I think we probably. What do you guys think? Evening, day?
Evening would be better, preferably.
Okay. So, what's the 26th look like?
That's one of the days it's not.
Oh, did you say 26th? Yes, I'm sorry.
Starting the 30th through August the 4th, I am totally unavailable.
What about the 24th? Did you say that date? That's a Tuesday.
July 24th?
That's
yeah,
next,
it should be okay.
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. You good?
Sure.
I'm good on the 24th.
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's
do that. Can we do maybe at 6?
Sure.
Mark, does that date work?
Going at 6?
24th work for you?
July.
I think we should check your schedule.
Yeah.
Yes? Okay. 6 o'clock?
Yeah. I like 6 better.
What did you ask? I'm sorry, what did you say?
I like 6 o'clock better.
6, okay.
And that'll be here again.
Yeah, okay. I just think we need to get that defined pretty, you know, before you get right into the thick of things. That's all I have. Thank you.
Location here?
It's next week.
Yeah.
So we'll have to get that advertised.
What's that?
We have to get that advertised pretty quick.
Oh, yes. Is that enough time?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize August 1st is like, yeah, next week. Sorry.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Move on to approval of board minutes.
Hi, Vice President. I make a motion that the minutes of the June 14th, 2018, and then June 25th, 2018 meetings be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Mrs. Cooley. Mrs. Cooley.
Yes.
Mr. Coburn.
Yes.
Mr. Butts.
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas.
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
We have no student recognition or department reports, so we will move on to the board committee reports.
I'll get us started. This is because Mr. Coburn and I will be reporting out on the financial committee report. We had a meeting on July 9th for our finance committee. We do have a more regular schedule set now, so we will be meeting monthly. The topic of the last meeting was our budget process and purchasing process. We also had our newest member attending at the last meeting, which was Mrs. Courtney Bricker from the Mount Sterling Fiscal Clerk.
Okay.
So we had a pretty good meeting. We reviewed a presentation. Anything else you'd like to add?
No. One of the things that Todd did a great job and also attached it here for the rest of the board members to review as well. As far as the budget process and our purchasing policies and procedures and how that works to kind of get everyone on the same playing field. Mr. Eisler as well attended the meeting. It was his first finance meeting with us. A lot of great discussion. Still looking for other individuals here in the community or business community to join the committee, preferably with some business and accounting background to bring some insight. August 13th is our next meeting.
Correct.
4:30. So if anyone would like to join, or if you guys have anyone that you know of that would be a good benefit to our committee, you know, certainly let us know.
We also discussed potentially having a web page through the district web page for the finance committee to house documents specifically for the committee, whether that be our minutes or any other presentations that we have to help get us organized, so to speak.
One of the main, not really planned topic of discussions, but turned into it, Todd's going to give a presentation later in the meeting about the FISCLEP, but it's the quick run through that Todd gave us there at our meeting, I think is going to be a great tool for the board to be able to go in to, as a whole, to see what are the principals and the superintendent, the other directors, how are they coming up with their budget, what makes up those numbers, and any planned expenditures. So really getting a lot of detailed information in that reporting, and so Todd will present later on in the meeting about that in detail.
That's all I have.
Yep.
All right. We don't have to vote on that, right? No. Okay. Moving on to the treasurer's report.
Thank you, Mrs. Anikas. Before I get to the FISCWEB presentation, I do have our financial statements, and it is a full year now, so we have our full year working on our spending plan. I know it's small, but I'm going to point things out, knowing that you've had a chance to review this. We basically came in right now 3.1% under our expected revenue, but 1.4% under our expected expenditures. So all in all, we came in with an ending balance $215,000 less than what we expected. However, what I want to take the time to point out is in our property tax receipt, we typically receive $2 million plus in June. This June, we received $1.7 million. Typically, we receive $200,000 to $300,000 this month in July in our final settlement. This month, we'll be receiving over $700,000 in the final settlement. So it's a timing issue. So where we see a variance of collecting $500,000, $556,000 less in our projected revenue, I'll try to highlight that for you here. So you can see right here, the $556,000 that we fell short on our property tax collection. Typically in June, again, we collect over $2 million, and that's in our advances. So then we receive our settlement in July. Typically that's $300,000, $200,000 to $300,000. The settlement that we actually received in July was over $700,000. So when you take that $500,000 or so that we're receiving more than what we typically receive in July, and add that to that $500,000 we fell short, we pretty much hit it dead on. So does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I wanted to be able to explain that, because it looks like we really fell short, and I don't believe we did. It was just truly a timing on when those final settlement amounts came in. So when we take that into account, you know, you add approximately $500,000 onto this, it goes from being a $215,000 shortfall to where we expected to be, to 200 plus thousand above, which is great. So moving on down through, just to highlight here at the end of the year, again, our revenues were somewhat down, but again, we just talked about the why, so it looks like they were 1% under. But again, our revenues have been flat over the last few years. You can see the blue, purple, and orange, those are relatively flat going across. That's our revenues over the last 3 years. And then our expenditure history. Our expenditures increased, sorry, it's a little clunky. Our expenditures increased, I'll get there. There we go, that stays right there. All right. Our expenditures increased 1%. This year, and that's with a 2% salary increase built into the contracts. So we really did a good job of trimming our expenditures throughout the year when we have a 2% salary increase per the contract, and we came in at 1% overall. salaries and benefits, as you know, are our largest expenditure as a district. So over the last few years, we've really done a great job with a 2% increase, 1% increase, 2% increase, 1% increase over those last 4 years or so. So that just highlights what we've been trying to do to get by until we were able to find additional revenue for the district. And luckily, we were able to do that with the passage of the income tax. And then the last thing here in the spending plan on the last page is the cash flow analysis. And just to point out, the black line is our estimated amount, and the blue line is where we're actually at. That shortfall is due to that property tax collection that we spoke of. So, are there any questions with the spending plan as I've explained it to you? Okay. Sorry about the clunkiness. The next thing on my report is the FiscWeb report. And FiscWeb, I'm just going to take you through how to get there. You go through our website. And this is, FiscWeb is a tool for our staff. And I thought that I had presented this to the board, but it may have been a couple boards ago. So I wanted to be able to highlight it today for you because you should have access to this as well. It does require a login and a password, which I provided to you previously, to log into. But these are the type of reports that are out there for our staff members to work with. So you go to our webpage, go to staff, and scroll down to tips and support tools. So FiscWeb, right here, see all the different groups that we have for Madison Plains. So you have athletics, Board of Education, curriculum, all the way down through treasurer and transportation down there at the bottom. Those are, if you don't want to sort through a whole lot, you just want to see what's particular, you know, what pertains to athletics, because I'm the athletic director, for instance. You would click on athletics and see login with the password and try to log in. I'd like to be able to log in without logging in front of everybody here. No offense. Okay, here we go. And I'll bring it right back up. So these are the reports that are available for each of these groups. You have an account status, a BUD sum, a BUD work, a FIN sum, a PO detail, a requisition detail, a revenue summary, and a REV work, which is a revenue worksheet. So the BUD work and the REV work are two great reports because those are ones that we use in our budget planning, and they give a great history. So for instance, I'll bring up the BUD work. And you see here, for instance, we have a general fund account for athletic equipment in the high school. You see the history. So in fiscal year 18, we didn't spend anything out of this account. 17, $7,487. 16, $6,710. And then this year, we have zero appropriated. The reason being is we shifted all of the 600 codes, all the capital improvement in a general fund to PI. So that's why we have zero appropriated in that account. We do have a prior year carryover encumbrance, so that's something that was encumbered last year that's still outstanding, that still needs to be paid, $1,000. So you have $1,000 expendable. To date, in this fiscal year, we spent zero of that and 0%. So that's how the report works in BUDWORK. You see that for the general fund account, and then you start getting into the individual 300 accounts, which would be the athletic accounts. So you see here for junior high boys basketball officials, you can see our three-year history, how much we've spent, how much we have appropriated for this year, and the total expendable amount, and how much we've currently expended. So that's the usability of that BUD work report for the district, for the different department heads, people that are working on their budget, monitoring their budget, and that's just one report. So I encourage you to explore the various reports that are available, ask questions. It would take longer to cover every single one of them tonight, but what I can tell you is it goes from this higher level overall budget planning document like this down to a financial detail and account status reports where you can see the individual transactions. Okay, so it allows you, and I apologize that you weren't aware of this before, but like the rest of our department and building department leaders in the district, to monitor those reports and view those reports.
And this is updated on a daily basis?
Yeah, it's linked. These aren't reports that I create myself. These are reports that are created automatically off of our accounting system. So they are pulled from the accounting system and PDF'd and loaded on every 24 hours. So if we make a change today, it won't show up today. You'll have to wait for that to load 24 hours later, and it'll show up the next day. But I have a feeling this is one of those things that'll bring more questions from you, and I'm great with that. If you have questions, let me know. Be happy to answer them. But it's a great report. You can use it as much or as little as you like. But at least you have the ability. So does anybody have, based on what I've sent you before, any questions with FiscWeb? Okay. Maybe as part of our board work session, we could dive a little deeper.
Yeah, maybe a little refresher on that.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would use that.
With that, that does conclude my treasurer's report.
Vice President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items H4.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Thank you, Mrs. Nikas. You know, when I did the presentation earlier for those who we wanted to recognize for their assistance with the levy, I forgot to say at the end that if you would like to leave, you are welcome to. You do not need to stay. We understand that if you have other things that you want to do, but you are certainly welcome to stay. So, the first part of my superintendent's report this evening, I would like to have assistant principal at the 712 building, Ms. Ann Berger, and then our instructional coach, Ms. Christina Finney, come up. They're going to do a presentation on our advanced ed review that we had here in the spring. Advanced ed is an accrediting organization, and they come in and they do reviews, and it is a wonderful way to both affirm what is happening in the building and help us to identify as well opportunities for growth. It is a worldwide organization. They have more than 12,000 member schools, and so when you get data back from them and input, it is something that is very, very important and powerful. So very happy to have Ms. Berger and Mrs. Finney here with us this evening to share this with us.
So the two of us, the reason why we're up here presenting is we were part of the engagement team that helped prepare for our review and then met with the accreditors that came out. Like Mr. Eisler said, it's a global organization. There's 32,000 institutions, and it used to be called North Central Accreditation, and that's what, if you look at our sticker, when you go into the front high school, there's a sticker that says it's North Central Accredited. But now that it goes by Advanced Ed, it's what we put on our transcripts to give it a little extra verification, not just by the state of Ohio, but by this organization we're accredited. And we do it every 5 years. So this was the first time that this administrative team had undergone the advanced ed review, and my first time experience with them also.
Mine too.
So their evaluators, when they come out, they have to be credentialed. similar, almost like the OTES credentials. They're current and past educational leaders. Our team that came out were from not just the state of Ohio, but they came like more regional based. And they provide non-biased feedback for help us for our planning in the future, and also celebrate the success of all of our staff and what we do and what we do very well.
So the three domains that they use to do the accreditation that they look at would be the leadership capacity, learning capacity, and our resource capacity. And Ms. Berger actually gave them a extremely comprehensive notebook, which I will tell you they raved about. And in addition to this, they had digital access to this too. So the people that preferred, whichever one they preferred, and they said that a lot of times you never know when internet things are going to happen, and it's nice to have a hard copy. And this is our high school, it's very extensive. So they dig very deeply into all aspects of your high school and see how they meet these domains. It happened in March. This kind of sums up what their sort of what their vision was. The last slide. Oh, I don't care if you want to. Sorry. So it's a pivotal. I can't even say that word. Pivotal. To leveraging education quality and continuous improvement. The whole theme is about continuous improvement. What are you doing well? What can you celebrate? And then what do you need to work on? So we started, and it was in March, and they came on a Sunday night, and Ms. Berger, myself, and Dr. Unger spent that evening with them, just getting them familiar with Madison Plains High School. And then they were here all day Monday, and they work well into the evening hours. When they go back to their hotel, it is additional hours of delving through the data and what they've seen, and then coming back again on part of the day for Tuesday as well to finish up the entire process.
So, you know, what do they have to tell us? And these are all things, nothing was a surprise, but it's really comforting to hear these things from outside people. We see it every day in our high school, and our high school staff does not have the personality that they brag upon themselves. We're pretty humble, and we work and we get our job done. But it's very exciting, and it's really important that our staff sees that outside people recognize this. And I'll just read straight from their findings. Students and teachers stated their school feels like family. I think we all agree with that. The facility provides a safe and clean environment for learning. And three, I think, is extremely powerful. When students asked if they would like to leave Madison Plains to attend elsewhere, the students replied, no way. The students feel safe at school. For our school our size, they feel that we offer multiple extracurricular and co-curricular activities. And they were impressed with our range of technology available to students, that we're not just we're not just an Apple, we're not just a Chromebook or an iPad. We have a good variety for our teachers and our students to use. And that students, this is so important, students respect their teachers, and there's a good working relationship between the teachers and administration. When we look at our curriculum and our opportunities there, they were impressed by not only our AP courses, our career tech classes, our CCP, and our alternate education program for our school, especially our size. They were really jealous, I think a couple of them were, with our small class sizes. And students reflected that they feel their teachers respect them and offer instructional and tutorial support for academic success. So these are things that we see every day, but we don't always celebrate, and maybe we should more. And to have an outside organization come in for 2.5 days and recognize it and see it is great.
So the tool that they use to conduct their observations is, they call it the Elliott, the Effective Learning Observation Tool. And they did 33 observations in classrooms. And just to highlight the ones where we performed the best, with the overall rating, looking at your 3.0, we did well in the equitable learning environment, the supportive learning environment, and well-managed learning environment. And I know you guys have, in the piece that Ms. Berger gave you, you have a lot more information to refer to in addition to this. So the stakeholders that were involved, they interviewed teachers and staff. They interviewed 18 of those, 28 students, 5 administrators, 8 parents, for a total of 59 observations. And those are just interviews separate from the observations they did in the classroom and around the school.
We also prepared surveys for them. We had the survey link up on our Facebook page to try and get more input from people who couldn't come in and meet too. And our students and our staff did surveys.
So one of the findings, which is a theme for recognition, is our powerful practices. And they saw the school progress check that we do at the high school, which is about 15 minutes for each student, to have a time for them to check their grades, see what they have missing, talk to their progress check teacher. If there's a teacher that they need to go, another teacher they need to go see, maybe make that appointment with them. The other thing was the use of data. Their finding was, usually in a district when they go, the data conversation stops somewhere. And they were very impressed that administrators, teachers, students could all speak to data. And it didn't hit one level and stop. So one of the things that you'll see in the report that you have, they attributed that to our TBT, BLT, DLT process. Our use of Mastery Connect was critical in this piece, and having those data days where we sit and really dig into teacher data with them were some of the highlights, and just how that's driving the formative and summative assessments. They were very impressed that even the students could talk about their own data.
So themes for improvement, and again, none of these were really surprising, and they're things that we know we need to work on, that we need to provide more professional development on. One we're seeing right now is to develop formal and measurable and evaluate strategies to recruit and retain quality staff members. We have a great student body, and they said, you know, you need to get them out in the forefront because a lot of people would love to have classrooms with our kids in it.
Well, and we, you know, we always talk about, we're so small, we don't have a town, we're rural, and they, all the things that we tend to, I think, kind of talk about all the time, to them were huge selling points. Like, no, this is what you should market yourself as, because the students do feel safe in the small class size and that type of thing.
The other area of improvement is differentiation, and that we need to start provide more differentiation in our classrooms and make it individualized to our learners, and also providing that opportunity for teachers to learn different strategies and trainings, and so that we're reaching all of our students within the regular classroom. And then on our next slide, to develop and implement additional strategies to involve parents and community stakeholders in meaningful ways in their child's education while soliciting feedback that will strengthen the decision-making process. One thing we can say is, for the interviews with the parents and community members, we invited over 50 people and we had 9 parents come. We have to find a way to get people in our buildings to see the good things that are going on every day. And they saw that too. And then update and enhance our strategic plan for the district to incorporate strategic resource management in support of the institutional purpose and direction. Some things to note is in your report on page 9, on the bottom right-hand corner, when it looks at their findings, you have 4 areas of findings. Things could be in need of improvement, emerging, meets expectation, exceeds expectations. We only had 6 in the emerging category, 20 meet expectations, and 4 were exceeding expectations. And as Christina was talking about our use of data and our use of support for kids within the school days, they referenced offhanded as they go out into other districts and they're looking for resources, that they were going to mention our name as someone that does it and we do it well. So again, our staff doesn't like to brag about themselves, but this is time where we really need to give credit where it is. And then the other is on page 13. I really encourage you to read the conclusion narrative, especially. There's a lot of information in there. We kind of just covered the highlights. And another thing they had mentioned, they reference this IEQ number, and they use that number to determine whether or not we're going to be accredited. And the gentleman, we like to tell it, but he told us our number was 331.33 or third. And that was the highest score he'd seen in a district.
Wow.
And then I tried to find the average, and I don't know how legitimate my source was online, but the average IEQ score I saw was 278. So we were above average. We're doing things well. We're on a right trajectory. Naturally, we have things of improvement, but we have a lot of celebrations, too. Do you have any questions for us?
Has this information been shared with the staff?
This report was just finalized, I think, this summer. We had our draft, but we were waiting for the finalization. So hopefully this fall, definitely.
You know, if I may, we always talk about what can we do to sell the district and to brag about mm-hmm. what is our staff and you know, our students are doing. And I think this is a great piece of information that really can be used to our advantage to show the stakeholders in the community what's going on here.
Yeah.
And to really try to drum up additional support and to get people here. It's disheartening that you said that 50 people were invited and only eight or nine showed up.
It was during the school day.
Yeah.
In fairness, it was during the school day.
So hopefully we can.
That's probably tough.
Yeah. So hopefully we can improve those numbers and show people. This isn't us telling us. This is an outside agency that's come in and these are the results that they're finding. So kudos to you and to the staff there at the high school and the junior high, and hopefully we continue to excel even higher and get a higher score with them. So
5 years, we'll see them again.
Yeah.
Overall, it was a very positive experience. We felt like
they
gave some great feedback, and it was interesting to go through the process.
I think it's a great job, and I think that some of this information we can put online, right? Not all of it. People are going to read all of it, but the highlights I think are great. We put them out there, and I say that all the time. We should celebrate our staff and our students, and hopefully get a better return on the involvement of the community. That's always our focus. So just got to keep doing it. Great job.
Thank you,
Ms. Berger, Mrs. Fenning, for sharing that. Truly well done. And well done to the entire staff that was a part of that and the work that they were doing. It is fantastic work. A few other items here for discussion this evening. With regard to our wastewater treatment facility, our PTI has been approved, so we are a go for that project. Mr. Mustaine and I had a meeting today with the contractor for installation for that. And he said that if everything goes as planned, we should be able to have that project completed in 4 weeks, so by August 14th, so if everything goes according to plan. So we're excited about that. I got my first tour of the wastewater treatment facility plant today, so that was exciting, and so we are on track there. Just a bit of an update, too, with the doors and security project that we have going on this summer. The doors in the modular units at the high school have been framed in and drywall has been mounted. Installation of those doors is scheduled to begin on Monday of this coming week, so that should be taking place. Excuse me. And our door, the kitchen door, the intermediate building, and then the fire doors between the elementary and the intermediate school, and then between the high school and the junior high school. Those are scheduled for installation in the coming weeks as well, and that is scheduled to be done before school begins also. So I believe that that second half of that project, the kitchen door and then the two sets of fire doors, I think that is scheduled to begin within the next 2 weeks. So that's where we're at with that, which leads me then to our supplemental reduction plan. And if Mr. Mustaine would put that up on the screen for us. It is important to note that this supplemental reduction plan is part of our overall budget reduction plan in the district. And so this is not something that was added on. It is something that was originally part of the plan. And the goal that was set by the district was to reduce our supplemental costs by $28,000. To do that, we actually had to cut, I believe the number that we have there at the bottom of the screen is $33,473. That was because we had a supplemental last year that was being filled by somebody, a head coaching position, who was doing it as a volunteer. And so to get to a $28,000 reduction from where we were spending, we had to, because that position will be paid this coming year, we actually had to trim more than $28,000. So the number that you see there is reflective of that work. We and Mr. Mustaine, if you would, let's go back to the top and we'll walk through some of this here. It is important to remember that or acknowledge that this process was done collaboratively. This is not something that Mr. Mustaine and I sat in a room by ourselves and made decisions on. It was a collaborative process. We spoke with the athletic director. We spoke with the MPA association president about this, and we also spoke with some of the music professionals in the district as well, and when it came to making decisions about those particular programs. And so that was the collaborative process that was used. If you look up through the top, we will start here with the athletic piece. We are going to do a little bit of trimming with cheerleading. The head seventh grade coach, is that position will not be filled, nor will the assistant varsity cheerleading coach, and the head seventh grade cheerleading football coach. That position will not be filled either. We are going to not fill an assistant varsity football coaching position. We will not fill an indoor track assistant varsity position. We will not fill a soccer assistant varsity, a track assistant varsity, and a wrestling assistant varsity coach as well. And we also, along the athletic lines, we will not fill the facility manager position for the spring. And then the three weight room supervisor positions, one each for fall, winter, and spring, those will not be filled either. It is important to keep in mind that as we made decisions about the supplementals, particularly with the athletics, but with regard to all of them, safety was a big consideration. Obviously, when you have student athletes who are out there working in practice or at events, and with some of the events like the track, we talked about the fact that there are people all over the place at a stadium. It is important to try to keep as many supervisors there as possible. With a sport like football, obviously you have young men who are colliding with each other often at high speed and on different parts of the football field, so you want to make sure that there are adequate people there to supervise them. So all of those things were taken into consideration as we made the decisions about what was going to be not filled. So that is something that is important to keep in mind. On down below, with regard to the music positions there, there is the junior high school head band director. That supplemental will not be filled. The ensemble rehearsals and sections for competition, those positions for the instrumental and the vocal will not be filled, as well as the two piano accompanist positions. Those will not be filled either. And again, those decisions were made in collaboration with the music professionals within the building so that they could have some say into how we could maintain the essence of the program. With regard to other positions that are not going to be filled, the drama club position, that is one of two that will not be filled. So one will remain. The Envirothon position will not be filled, the literary magazine, the newspaper, and one of the outdoor ed coordinator positions. The other coordinator position will remain, and I know there are some other outdoor ed positions. Those remain untouched. The power of the pen position, that is one of two of those will not be filled. The student council position at the junior high will not be filled, and then one each of the student of the month positions for K-6 and 7-12. There were two in each of those designations. One of the two will not be filled. So down below then we have a chart that totals all of this up for you so that you can see it in an easy readable fashion. The dollar amounts there are the dollar amounts that are contributed to the supplemental budget from the three areas that we have, athletics, music, and academics. And then to the right of that, you see the percentages that are represented by those dollar amounts. To the right of that, then, is the amount that was cut from each of those areas. Then to the right of that, you see the percentage that was cut from the supplementals that are there. Athletics, obviously, is the biggest area. It bore the biggest weight. And then finally, the last column out to the right is the dollar amount that was either over or under that percentage that is there. So athletics did bear the greatest load and bore the brunt of what will not be filled. The other categories there you can see, we were $141 short of where we would to have everything be even as we would like, 100%. $141 short with music, then with the academics, $2,450. And part of the reason why that is because obviously the academic piece is the priority. It's why we are here. We learning occurs within all realms of the supplementals that are performed on a regular basis within the school district. That is the great value of those opportunities for students. But there was a desire to try to work to protect, to some extent, some of the academic pieces as that goes back to our core mission. So that is what it is. We tried not to cut any more than was absolutely necessary. And so that's where we are right now. Okay, questions, comments, concerns? Thank you. A couple of other items of note. I know Mrs. Cooley has reached out to me about getting the communications committee up and running here in the short term. I would like to get a date set for that first meeting. So we will work to do that. And then we continue to work to fill positions for hiring to fully staff the school district. There is a possibility, as we continue to move through this process, there is a possibility that we may need another special board meeting strictly for the purposes of hiring either late in July or early in August. Our regularly scheduled board meeting in August is not scheduled until August 21st. And so in light of that, or in lieu of that, so that we can get people in place before the start of the school year, it would be good to have that position or have those positions filled by then. I believe that is all the discussion items that I have for this evening.
Do you think that we could maybe do a walkthrough before school starts and see all the the new doors, all the
sure.
kind of improvements? That way we kind of see all the, I know it's a lot of hard work, so I kind of see what that end result is. So I don't know if maybe it's, I know you, teacher's first day or whatever.
No, we would be happy to schedule that.
Yeah. We can see the water treatment.
I deal with that on a daily basis.
Corey can go see that.
Yeah.
I'm good.
It's a very nice system.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Works very well.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll save my comments for after the meeting. Any other capital projects that we're looking at doing before school starts or anything else maintenance-wise?
I think there's a possibility that we could be looking at some things. I would like to entertain the idea of maybe doing something with the parking lots. I know that that was a question that had come up through the week, so there was some discussion about that today. I think that kind of leads me to the possibility of maybe having a larger conversation about some of what is being done in the district in terms of things that are maybe being outsourced and what is available to us. We need to have some conversation then as a board about what we want to do in terms of some of the permanent improvements that we want to make, because we will have to make choices there, and we need to prioritize what the work that needs done. So we absolutely are entertaining some of those thoughts, and I'm happy to have some further conversation about that. So
only other question I had is in regards to half of it, regards to supplemental reductions, and then also with the pay to participate, that's obviously starting. We have sports starting up here next couple of weeks. Fundraisers, obviously teams are going to be starting fundraisers, clubs, organizations. There was a discussion with Mr. Detweiler, and I think he had started the process about creating a master fundraiser calendar, and I don't believe that ever got finalized. I would personally like to see that, so we have not, we don't have 15 fundraisers going on a weekly basis, but to make sure that all clubs, all activities, all athletic teams get their fair share, and we don't have one team that's hogging the whole thing or one organization. You know, everyone is taking a hit on this, athletics more so than some of the others, obviously with the supplemental reductions and the pay to participate. So a lot of those teams are going to be aggressive to do fundraising, and
sure,
before we get full-fledged into that, I'd like to get some control on that, if at all possible. Wasn't it talked about in the past?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
We can certainly work to take a look at that.
Perfect.
That'd be important to do.
Thank you.
Sure.
Anything else? We do not have anything.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, do you think some of those things you want to talk about, do you think you'll have those ready by the 24th? That's next week. That's a little early, but we can certainly entertain those at that meeting if you have anything.
Some of the permanent improvement items?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can have those conversations.
If you don't, that's okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the intent is to talk about goals, but, the intent is to talk. Oh, it's not on. I thought I talked loud enough for everything. The intent, of course, is to talk about goals, but if we can talk about some of those other things that, I mean, we're going to be here for that evening, so is that okay with everybody else to add those items on?
Yeah. Todd's buying dinner anyway, so
yeah.
Take it home.
No, I would just add, you know, one thing to add to that is Chad's getting acclimated to the district, Mr. Eisler, I'm sorry, getting acclimated to the district. You know, PI planning, of course, is a big piece of that, and
right.
That's something that
yeah.
took Mr. Detweiler some time to put together a plan, and so I know that's a goal of his and something we need to get on is that PI planning, because like he said, we have limited resources for that PI budget, and the PI budget is going to be extremely taxed this year, probably more so than in years past, based on absorbing the capital improvement expenditures from the general fund as a result of the budget balancing plan. So there are a lot of needs for the district, and we need to start, as he said, prioritizing those needs. But he's taken on a lot right now, so I know it's a goal, but it's a big goal, and it's something we definitely need to do right. So if at all possible, I think we'll be able to put something before you next week, but it may not be as polished as what we may like it to be.
I think we just start a dialogue. I wouldn't expect a finished product. I would just say, hey, here's some areas, and then kind of we tie them. I don't know what you think, Tula.
No, I think that would be good. Start discussions and start outlining.
And based upon some of the conversations that I have had as I've entered the district in recent weeks, I think there are some relatively simple decisions that can be made, some low-hanging fruit, so to speak, that we can have a conversation about on Tuesday in terms of what we want to do in terms of direction. I know that there has been some very good work done in the district to put some things on a schedule, a rotation. I know that some things had been put off for a long time and had been neglected, but now we're on a schedule. The district is working to do that. There are some other things that we've had some conversation in the office over the last several days and weeks. Some things that we see also need to be put on the schedule, and the parking lots are one of those things. There are some conversations there, and we can have those, and I think it's important. It is very important, as the members of the board know and as the community knows, it is very important to be a good steward of the resources that the community has given to us. That is certainly something that is, I know, important to all of you. It is certainly something that is important to me, and we need to do a fantastic job with that. So I think some dialogue around that on Tuesday would be very good.
Yeah. At least we can establish the priorities,
right,
or agree upon those, or agree upon what else what other information we may need.
Sure.
Yeah.
That we're looking for. Certainly, you know, we're not going to know either. So,
right.
Yeah, let's talk about that Tuesday. That'd be great.
Sounds good.
Anything else?
Oh, no.
Okay. We do not have anything under policy and governance, so we're going to move into personnel.
Madam Vice President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items K2 through K8.
Second.
Discussion?
there are a number of items there for you for your approval. Is it possible that I can see those, Mr. Mustaine?
Yeah, we can go down through them one by one.
Yep.
So the first one, this is an item that had not been taken care of previously. This is for a department chair position at the 712 building for Mr. Jeff Stokes. This item, for one reason or another, was not put on last year. So this is an item for the 17-18 school year, so that he can be compensated for the work that he did. So that is what that is. This next piece is are the supplemental contracts that are on the agenda. There are academic and co-curricular supplementals here, so you can see those. These are the supplementals that have been sent to central office thus far to be filled for the upcoming year. And then you can see through, and that color to me looks like orange. It's a guy who's colorblind, I'm always guessing, but it looks like orange to me. But you can see those are highlighted so that you can see what is not being filled. That is that item. And then we have a couple of stipends for our VOAG teachers, our agricultural education teachers. That item there represents. And then we have a correction on a teaching contract that was voted on previously. We needed to add 1 year, I believe, to Mr. Warner's contract in terms of years of experience. We are hiring an English teacher at Madison Plains Junior Senior High School. I'm proud to say that Ms. Gabrielle Bush is the teacher who's going to be hired. She and our first grade teacher, Ms. Tara Buscemi, are both Golden Eagles. So we are very happy to bring back two alums into the district. I think that'll be great for our kids to see that we have people who have gone off and are coming back to teach. So very happy about that. And then the last item, K-8, is a termination of a contract that the board voted on at one of the previous meetings. We had a teacher who accepted the position verbally, and then after she accepted the position and was board approved, before she had signed her contract, accepted a position somewhere else. And so this is an item that we wanted to put on the board agenda so that it did not appear to any auditors that we had a position that was hanging out there. So this contract will not be awarded after your action tonight. Those are the action items for K-8 and personnel.
Great to see the alums come back too. Welcome.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Botts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam Vice President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following supplemental contract be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract. For the 2018-2019 school year, Tanya Coburn, assistant varsity volleyball.
Second. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Abstain.
Mr. Botts?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-0.
Madam Vice President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award Kimberly Rogers a 1 year exempt contract as transportation coordinator step 15 to be paid in accordance with the board approved exempt wage and salary schedules beginning with the 2018-2019 school year.
Second.
Discussion?
Very excited to bring Mrs. Rogers on. She comes to us highly recommended and with a tremendous amount of experience. I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, 26 years total, I believe. Mid-20s somewhere, I'm not 100% sure, but a lot of experience in school transportation. Checked references on her, checked a number of references on her. Everyone spoke very positively of her. She is well qualified for the position that we have, and I'm very excited to bring her on. I think she'll be fantastic for what we need.
That's awesome.
Good. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Botts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam Vice President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve 10 extended days for the transportation coordinator. These days are paid at their daily rate and are needed to complete the work to be done prior to the start of the regular contracts. Extended days must be approved each year.
Second.
This is something we, in essence, we have not had a transportation coordinator since, I believe, January of this year.
Correct.
And there are a number of things that need to be done to prepare the routes for the start of the school year. As I understand it, the computers in the buildings are attached to a computer in the transportation department, and uploads have been hitting that computer basically since January and not being updated with the routes. And so that is a challenge that we have moving forward. I believe the person that we've hired is up to that challenge. It's one of the great things about hiring this particular person. She has experience with this. This is an action item that is designed to be able to get her in the door as quickly as possible, actually tomorrow. And to be able to...
I was going to ask you when she starts.
Yeah, if you approve this item, she will be able to begin tomorrow and begin making the necessary changes that need to be done so that we can transport students the first day of school.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Madam Vice President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve a requested unpaid leave of absence for Rhonda Waddle Cook for a medical condition beginning March 19, 2018, for a period of not more than 1 year, per Article 27 of the Ohio Association of Public School Employees negotiated agreement.
Second.
Discussion?
This person actually was off again March 19th and was not able to finish the school year due to not having leave available, but she does intend to return at the start of the school year, assuming she has a doctor's clearance to do so. So in order for her not to have been essentially terminated, which would have came with running out of leave, it's within her right under the contract to request a leave of absence, and under the contract the board shall approve that leave if it's for a medical reason. So that's why it's before you now. And again, her intent is not to be off for a year from March. Her intent is to return and start the school year at the beginning of the year.
January.
The school year.